And then there's this rational argument. You know, all that old stuff in the Bible, it doesn't apply to people today. That was for those people in those days. And you see, all of this is placed within the innocent covering of sheep's clothing. But Jesus says, watch out, beware. The Lord Jesus says, if we look at their fruit, we can see what type of tree it is. With a very clear principle from Scripture, and from nature, he tells us that good trees bear good fruit, and bad trees will bear bad fruit. It can be no other way. If a good tree begins to bear bad fruit, it is no longer a good tree. So what kind of fruit should we be looking for when we evaluate religious teachers or religious materials? And I think two questions really get to the heart of the matter. First and foremost, most importantly, is God's truth being proclaimed? And secondly, does the Lord Jesus get the spotlight? Is He the focus of the message? So when you hear a preacher on the radio or on TV, ask yourself this question. Are you hearing God's truth? Is what you're hearing comes from Scripture? Is what you are hearing the main reason we have the Bible? And if you purchase a religious book or you see a spiritual message, compare it with what the Bible says. You know, we have been taught that the truth through Sabbath sermons and Bible studies, spiritual convocations, our 10 articles of faith and 5 basic doctrines. We know the truth. And if the Bible says something is sinful, then anyone who tries to explain that sin away or justify that sin is not speaking the truth. If someone says the Bible is not trustworthy, he is not speaking the truth. When people change or skip over things, to choose to ignore what God has inspired, then they are not following the truth. And we are to watch out for them. They will try to make their falsehood seem sweet and wonderful and attractive and desirable and even beneficial. But it is sheep's clothing. And you will know them by their fruit. Sometimes people talk in a way that makes it hard to tell whether they are speaking truth or speaking lies. They avoid the issue or change the subject. Just the other day, someone led me to told me to check out this YouTube video. It was an interview that Larry King had done with 2 very well-known ministers. One is Joel Osteen, the other is Billy Graham. And I was actually very surprised and shocked at what I heard. Larry King very pointedly, in these 2 separate interviews, asked each one of them the same question. Do you believe that if a person does not believe in Jesus Christ, they will not go to heaven? And I was shocked at their answers. They both said basically the same thing. They said, it is not for us to say whether they will go to heaven or hell for not believing in Jesus. I choose to believe in the Bible and that Jesus is my Savior. But it is not for us to say whether people will not go to heaven if they do not believe in Jesus. Then he asked him another question. Do you believe that Muslims and Jews and Hindus and others who do not believe in Jesus Christ can go to heaven? Do you think it's possible? And the answer was yes. We know that this is not according to Scripture. I appreciate their desire not to offend anybody But there is a better way of saying it and still speak the truth. We can say, I am not the one who determines whether a person goes to heaven or hell. But the God of the Bible is the one who makes that judgment. And according to the Bible, there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. This is according to God's Word, which we believe to be true. Now, isn't this the more effective way of saying the truth without hurting people's feelings? But they try to cover it up. They try to avoid the issue. They try not to hurt anybody's feelings. And the second fruit to look for helps us to see under the sheep's clothing. Is the Lord Jesus receiving the spotlight? Is He the focus of the message? Does the message highlight what God has done for us? Is the Savior's work put in front of you? His saving grace, His saving work. We call that justification. The Lord Jesus died in our place so that we are now declared forgiven. This is the central part of the Bible and should be the central message of every true messenger of God's Word. So that those Christian bookstores that are full of how-to books, they might give advice on dieting. They might give advice on finances or how to be happy. But does it highlight the Lord Jesus' death and resurrection? And with that high-profile preacher that you see on television or you hear on the radio, does the Savior stand out? Or does His personality take center stage? And that church that has these bulging memberships, like Joel Osteen's, over 20,000 in Houston, like Rick Warren's in Southern California, close to 20,000, do they focus on the work of Christ, or do they focus on the people's actions? And to put this into a framework that we are familiar with, does the Ten Commandments come with a full force? Let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel 13, verses 1 through 16. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 3, thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Verse 4, O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. Verse 6, they have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Verse 7. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. Verse 9. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Verse 11, say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar, that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Verse 12. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? 13. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. Verse 14. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. 15. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. 16. That is the prophets of Israel, who prophesy concerning Jerusalem, who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. God tore into those false prophets who would not call for repentance. They knew that the Israel was in sin. They knew that they were falling away from God. But they would not call the people to repentance. Say, everything's okay. God is love. The Lord God spoke to me. He said, God is love. The Lord God spoke to me. He said, His message is a message of prosperity. But God tore into these false prophets because they would not warn the people of God's judgment. They spoke of peace and safety when sin should have been confronted. And we need this full force of God's law, because without it, we would be the ones drifting into self-centeredness and error. But God's law does come to us with full force. Your pastors, your elders, your deacons, your fellow members, brothers and sisters, they all should be willing to tell you when you have broken God's commandment. They do not let your sin grow, and they do not let your sin lie undetected, unnoticed. And just as God's law needs to hit us like a brick, so we also need the comfort of the gospel. The Lord Jesus has forgiven us of our sins during water baptism. He lives to assure us that we have a new life in Him. He comes to us in baptism. He comes to us in Holy Communion. He comes to us in foot washing. He comes to us in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week. And He comes to us in the Bible to build us up, to encourage us, to support us, but to show us His truth. How precious is this good news? How we should long to hear it again and again and again. False prophets rarely speak the law, rarely speak the gospel clearly. You can read books, you can hear tons of sermons without a mention of the peace that the Lord Jesus gives with His forgiveness. Rarely you will hear them speak of our need to strive to obey the Ten Commandments. Rarely will you hear the Savior who alone has rescued you from your sins. So look at their fruit, which is their message. Look for the law. Look for the gospel. Look for Jesus. Then you will be able to discern what is good for you spiritually and avoid what is harmful to your faith. Your pastors and your ministers, fellow members, they are there to give you advice, to help guide you. But ultimately, it is only you who can do it. You have been instructed. We know the truth. The Lord Jesus is set before us regularly. And He lives in our heart by faith. So be discerning. Watch out for false prophets. Avoid what is false and misleading. Cling to what is true and what builds you up in the faith. One of the nagging doubts that we have when we make a distinction between true teachers of God's Word and false prophets is this. What if I make a mistake? What if I think that what I believe is fine, and it is not? The Lord Jesus assures us that He clearly sees the heart. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, depart from me,
I know you not. Not everyone who cries out, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father. We want to enter heaven and not be sent away. So we must ask the question, what is the Father's will? Is it some great act of charity? Does it take persistence? Does it take money? Do I have to be better than somebody else? And no matter how little God would require of us, we could not do it. Because our sin corrupts everything and makes it detestable to God. So no matter what we do, we can never measure up to God's perfection. But God's will is not something that we do. It is a gift from God. God's will is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's will is that we be baptized in His name for the remission of our sins. God's will is that we are born of the water and of the Spirit to enter the heavenly kingdom. God's will is that we remain in His church. God's will is, like the disciples, we pray diligently and faithfully for His promised indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God's will is that after we have been baptized into His body, we partake of His spiritual flesh and blood during Holy Communion. God's will is that we observe the sacrament of foot washing so that we may have a part with Him and be complete in our salvation. The Lord Jesus said, unless we do this, we have no part with Him. See, God's will is that we obey His ten, we strive to obey His Ten Commandments, which He summarized into two. Love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength. And love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we love God with all of our heart, we will naturally keep the first four commandments that show our relationship in obedience to God. And if we love our neighbor, we will keep the remaining six. Everyone who follows His commands and walks as He walked, all those who listen, obey the teachings of the disciples, and do as they did and walk as they walked and trust in Him, will be saved. Do we remember the question the 3,000 people asked Peter on the day of Pentecost? What must we do to be saved? Peter told them what God's will was. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because this is not an accurate baptism for the remission of your sins. Not to simply join a church, but to receive the forgiveness of sins. Faith is God's gift given through the gospel. God knows everyone who trusts Him. He sees their hearts cleansed of all sin in the blood of Christ when they are obedient to Him. They are dressed in His robes of righteousness when they are obedient to Him. They wear a crown of righteousness when they do these things. These all will be welcomed into the glory of heaven. These all have done the will of the Father by trusting Jesus. All the rest of the false teachers and prophets, no matter what the spectacular achievements they have done, will be sent away. Regardless of the size of their churches, regardless of the size of the bank accounts, regardless of all the charitable works that they have done, regardless of how big a crowd that they draw to come to listen to their messages, regardless of all of their efforts, unless they do the will of the Father, unless they preach His true gospel of salvation and obey His commandments, they will not enter into that kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus records their protests. We did all kinds of things. We made our churches grow. We gathered lots of money. We did a lot of charity work. We were successful. Of course we did it all in Your name. But look at what we did. Remember how I said to look for Christ at the center of the message? Who is at the center of this protest? Even at the very end, it is all about the people. They said, look at what we did.
Let's turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12.
How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Here we read that Satan said five times, I. Everything we do should be for the glory of God, not for our own glory. Whenever we hear these words, brothers and sisters, we need to be vigilant. The Lord Jesus says, beware of false messages. Beware of false prophets. Be wary of what you hear and see. Just because it has the label of Christian does not mean it is good for you. Not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. That ferocious wolf wears sheep's clothing. Dig into God's Word yourself. Review the truths you have learned, led by the Holy Spirit. Compare what you see with the truth that God has revealed. And by their fruits, you will know them.